Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, August 26, 2024. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter, More About Alcoholism, on page 42, the first paragraph, beginning with, two members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with, I could do the job myself. Today's readers are Stephanie R., the 12 Steps, Naomi G.B., and the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Craig F. in the text, Kathy S. on page 164, and Nancy R. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Karen W., and our second hour, F. The share ID for Sunday, August 25th, 2024 is 21,685. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, family. Stephanie R., recovered in Missouri. Here are our 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. My path.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'll now ask Naomi G. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Sorry, Naomi G.B.
Thanks, Rick. Good morning, everyone. Naomi G.B., gratefully recovered in Ontario, Canada. So the 12 traditions. And I forgot to say compulsive overeating.
Oh, Naomi, you just got muted. If you could hit star one again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I sure can.
Awesome. All right. I'll try that again. So, 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Oh, you just got muted again. We seem to be having a technical issue here. Naomi, can you try hitting star one again?
Oh, hey, can you hear me now again?
I can hear you now.
Hello?
Again.
I'll give it another try.
Okay.
All right. One. Our
I'm so sorry. Kid Naomi, we're having an issue on the line here. I don't know if it's on our end or your end. I'm just going to ask to see if Nancy R.
Okay. I'll pass. Thank you very much. Thanks.
I'm so sorry. Nancy R., could you go ahead and read the 12 traditions?
Yes. Give me one second here. I'm doing the steps, right?
You are doing the tradition.
Sorry. Okay. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Those problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We may always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
All right. Thanks so much, Nancy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 42, the first paragraph, beginning with two members of Alcoholics Anonymous and reading through that one paragraph, ending with I could do the job myself. I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading.
Okay, this is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Thanks, Rick. Two members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. They grinned, which I didn't like so much, and then asked me if I thought myself alcoholic and if I were really licked this time. I had to concede both propositions. They piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality, such as I exhibited in Washington, was a hopeless condition. They cited cases out of their own experience by the dozen. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. Okay. So this is Scope Fred, the accountant, and he's finally gotten to the place where he has admitted he's powerless over alcohol. You know, that's our first step, and that's our first task, and a tough one sometimes in recovery. You know, admitting that I'm not just powerless, I'm completely powerless over over food. I'm powerless, and that means that I can't do this job myself. I can't control this. It, you know, they piled on a lot of evidence showing him that that he had a hopeless condition. And you know, if I'm powerless and I'm hopeless, I'm in a pretty bad place. But what they also are going to pile on here is that there's a spiritual answer, and that's what they're going to tell him in tomorrow's reading. But for right now, he has, in order to get to that point where he's ready to accept spiritual help, he has to get to the point where he concedes to his innermost self that he can't fix this on his own, that he cannot control this on his own. And that, you know, that's hard. It's a hard place for most people. It's always a hard place for me. You know, my ego wanted to say, just give me some information and I think I've got this under control. You know, just point me in the right way and I can handle this. You know, yeah, okay, I'll take some help, but I can fix it myself. Just a little bit of help. You know, just a little assist. Maybe get me out of the rut here and I can handle this myself. And you know, I had to prove to myself time and again that wasn't true, that I am powerless over food, that without help, without a spiritual way of life, that I was bound to eat again, that I was bound to pick up the food again when conditions were right. And you know, that I am powerless. I'm powerless over food. But the good news is that once I do that, there is a wonderful world. There is recovery out ahead. I don't have to stay in this place very long, this place of powerlessness. And they call it hopelessness, but I say there's hope. There's hope.
Good reminder.
There's hope in the recovery. And a power greater than ourselves. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Thanks so much for getting us started, Craig. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Tony B. That's Tony B. in Scotland.
Tony. Okay, and sorry, it was just a little bit of an audio knot there. Who else came in right with Tony?
Noel J.
Tanya
okay.
D.
Tanya, okay, Tanya D.
Blanca BG.
Blanca BG. All right. Who else? Well, we're going to go ahead and go with these, and then we'll get some for another round later. So I've got Tony B, Noel J, Tanya D, Blanca BG. Okay. So Tony B, you're up first, followed by Noel J. And please remember just to include where you're calling from when you introduce yourself. Go ahead, Tony.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for your service. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. I love this paragraph. I love this kind of hearing about about Fred and kind of, you know, what he's going through. We've kind of got these pitfalls that we know are going to happen, and you're kind of thinking, oh, poor guy, you know, and he's at it again. And then this feels like an oasis, you know, when you get to this bit. Two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me, and the help is there. That's just so beautiful. And it is amazing. God's grace, you know, has enabled this to happen, where people are passing this on to each other, and there is hope and there is a solution. And they grinned, you know, they grinned. They can grin, you know, they've found this solution. They're well people, and there's joy in them, you know. They grinned. He didn't like it so much. Well, he's still full of pride and ego, and you know, maybe, you know, still taking himself quite seriously. You're not going to like that if you're still sort of taking yourself quite seriously. But it's one of the things that comes to us as we find recovery, that we don't take ourselves quite so seriously anymore. And then they asked me if I thought myself alcoholic, if I were really licked this time. So here they are. And they might not have been there. You know, he just kind of, it's just sort of like two members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me, sort of like this is normal. But I mean, they might well not have. And here they are. And they're asking him, you know, are you really alcoholic? Are you licked? And he's conceding both propositions. And then they show him that that it's a hopeless condition by, I suppose, telling him about lots of other people that they've known that have had similar experiences and that continue just to pick up. You know, that there really is no way of doing it by yourself. It just keeps happening, and I guess they've got experience of that. It's a hopeless condition. And, you know, that was, I just find it so beautiful at that point where they come, and it's, you know, it's there's a solution, there's an answer, and these people are carrying it. So I'll leave it there. Thank you. And I'll share the time. I pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Noel J., you're up next, followed by Tanya D.
Good
Go
morning.
Ahead,
thank you. I'm Noelle J. I'm a compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be on the line this morning. That made me laugh. And I'm so grateful I can laugh today. They grinned, and I didn't like that so much. I remember coming into program and being pissed at how happy people were. Like, how can you be so happy in this disease? And just today, like, being able to laugh at myself, if that's not my addiction and ego, then I can't even really understand. And I'm so grateful today that I can see myself. That's how I know that God is working on me, is that I can see myself and the people in the big book. I'm not so eager to be like, I'm not like these people. Yeah, I'm really grateful. This passage helped me today and prompted me to say something on the line. I'm struggling right now. I am like deeply in my yellow light foods, and I only know a little, but I do know enough to know that there's not really any such thing as yellow light foods. I need a sponsor. I'm definitely out here right now, like trying to do it on my own. And the times that I feel like this, the times that this has happened in my program, I've been reminded that if I keep coming back, like there are two alcoholics that will come to your bedside and say like, hey, are you really done yet? There's never a moment where I have to feel shunned or feel like I can't return here or like I can't come back here. So I'm really grateful to be on the line this morning. Thank you for listening.
Hey, thanks, Noel. Jay, could you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Sorry about that. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Noel Jay from Pennsylvania. All right, Tanya D, you're up next, followed by Blanca BG. Go ahead, Tanya.
Hi, this is Tanya D, recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Thanks so much for letting me share. This paragraph really illustrates, I think, like the components of taking step one. You know, the first component is actually like just hinted at in this paragraph, you know, his experience in Washington with the alcohol after he already knows about, you know, the physical allergy and the mental obsession. And despite, you know, this self-knowledge, he still picks up and he doesn't even know how it happens. And, you know, for me, certainly like the food was the first great persuader, right? If I didn't have those experiences, like the mental blank spots, it doesn't matter what you told me, like, I you know, I've had to experience it myself. And then it's the carrying the message from, you know, other alcoholics or other compulsive overeaters, because similarly, you know, I think if you told me that, like if a professional of some sort came and told me, look, like you have this problem with food, like here's what happens and so on, like I might have listened, but I would have probably thought, okay, this is just really weird. What does this person know? No, I can totally do it on my own. And so the fact that these are people who themselves have this problem, who've conquered it, coming to tell him about this, I think that's really powerful. You know, I think it is really powerful that we have a fellowship of compulsive overeaters, that where we know what we are talking about from experience. And this is where like the stories are really helpful. And I imagine that they told him kind of their own stories, stories of other people. And especially because, you know, relative to them, Fred was not as bad. You know, this is just his second time at the hospital, which is one reason why he thought he could handle it himself. He's like, I'm not this bad. And so, and I also came in pretty young. And so my disease hadn't progressed as much as it could have, which I'm really grateful for. But it was really helpful for me to hear people talk about the progression of the illness too, that over time, like no matter how bad or not bad I am, if I'm a real compulsive overeater, it's just going to get worse over time. And that was helpful too for convincing me that I could not do it on my own, that if I just kept trying it, it would only only get worse. And, you know, I'm grateful for the people that shared those experiences. And I, you know, try to share my own in as much detail as necessary as well, because it is really helpful for, you know, not doing it all through experimentation, which can be very, very painful. So yeah, I'm grateful for the process of how we carry the message, because I think it's the most effective way of carrying it. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Tanya D. from Illinois. All right, Blanca BG, you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Blanca. Blanca, hit star one.
All right. I'm sorry. Can I be heard now?
Yes, you can, Blanca.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in program, and thank you, moderator, for your service. I really appreciate it, especially this morning. I'm from Central Florida. Well, I had a business trip, just 2 days. It was just like 2.5 days. And I'm wobbly. My food, I'd been struggling, and I thought, what did I think? Just what this paragraph today said to me. There are no coincidences, as we say in program. I'll have a little assist, you know, all I need is a little help. I don't need to go full force. I'm not going to plan my meals. I'll be fine. I'll get food. I'll get good food on, you know, my abstinent foods on the road. I'll be okay. I can do this. Well, no, I didn't. Without going into detail, I'm sure everyone can imagine what happened. Flat on my face. And it's amazing. Maybe not so amazing for all of you listening. It just, this disease progresses on its own. and it progresses at 100 miles an hour. Even when we are following program, and that's what's so deceitful about it. I can be great. I can be doing fine. I can be listening to meetings and making phone calls and be abstinent. And yet, underneath, this disease progresses. It goes straight to the throat. And that's what it did. And it was awful. You know, I had to go to this meeting and feeling horrible, feeling very ill and very deep in disease. And it was a workshop, actually. And you know, didn't want to talk to anybody, and that's not me. I always want to socialize at these events you're supposed to. I wasn't feeling very friendly, to say the least. I was angry and really disgusted with myself. And so there are no, I know, and the first thing I hear is this paragraph this morning. I said, oh my, you know, my God. But it also tells me, the fact that I was able to come on this meeting and listen to that paragraph like it was talking to me is just so apparent to me that my higher power is out there, still with me, swing, you know, in my corner. But I have to get back on. I have to get back up, dust myself off, and get back on that horse. And with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Blanca BG. All right. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 42. The first paragraph beginning with two members of Alcoholics Anonymous and reading through that one paragraph ending with I could do the job myself. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who else would like to share on what was read today? I heard, I think I heard someone there, but it was very low. Could you speak up a little bit just for me? Or I might be hearing
Cheryl. Cheryl L., Florida.
Gotcha, Cheryl.
Susan G., Tennessee.
Was that Susan G.?
It sure was, Rick.
All right. Gotcha, Susan.
Thank you.
Candace D., South Carolina.
All right, Candace.
Mary B., Arkansas.
Mary B. Okay. Who else? I'll tell you what, we'll go with these names, then we'll get some more. So I've got Cheryl, and I did not get your first initial. Sorry, Susan G., Candace D., Mary B. And Cheryl, you're up first, followed by Susan G., and if you could please include where you're calling from when you... give your name as well. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Cheryl L. I'm calling from Florida today. And I just wanted to claim my seat this morning. It's been a while since I spoke on the line. And, I really like this paragraph. I like thinking about the two alcoholics coming to the assistance of the man, you know, that when he was willing, you know, he was willing to concede that he didn't have the answer, that he wasn't able to take care to do this, you know, on his own, that he was wrong, you know, and that's what I had to do when I came back in. You know, there were people in the program that were watching me. They were watching me put the weight back on. They were watching me eat my, you know, eat the foods that were not on my plan. They were watching me, and I was, you know, kind of embarrassed by that. A lot of it was what was going on in my head, though, and that's what, you know, I think that's one of the dangerous things for us is that the things that we say to ourselves, you know, when we're in our disease are probably the most harmful. And And, you know, because I did try to control my eating for 4 years, you know, in relapse, and nothing was working. But that resolution just kept coming back. I can do this. I can do this. I don't need outside help, or I don't need OA. You know, I need other things. So, you know, but when I was ready, you know, the hand of OA was there for me, and more than willing to help me, you know, get through the steps again, more than willing to help me with a food plan that worked for my nutritional needs, you know, more than willing to listen as I shared, you know, my struggles, and to help me to come to a relationship with a higher power. And I was listening to PB's, you know, share yesterday. And that's what this is all about. It's all about, you know, having a relationship with a higher power who will meet all of my needs if I'm willing. Just back from vacation, you know, I'm happy to report that I did not need to pick up my binge foods when I was on vacation. I was not good with my other practices, but it's Monday morning. I'm grateful to be back on this meeting, and I'm grateful to be back with my routine. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. Susan G., you're up next, followed by Candace D. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, thank you, Rick. Good morning, and thank you, Craig, for the lead and everybody's share so far. So helpful. I'm Susan G. I'm in Tennessee, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful today to be with you. Yeah, I love this paragraph. It hits me gently today because, you know, two members came to see him, and they were grinning. And I know I had left OA with a relapse a few years ago, and fellows kept reaching out to me, and they extended that friendship. And eventually I heard them, and I was able to get back. But that just that kindness, the outreach, you know, is not to be underestimated that we do for each other. And I will say, too, that I've never noticed, but this morning I'm noticing that it says, you know, that they piled heaps of evidence to the effect, not that he was hopeless, but that an alcoholic mentality was a hopeless condition. And to put it in kind of a clinical setting almost, you know, removing the story in a sense, just say it is what it is. And it seems like you've got it from your own, you know, actions. And here's some of ours, a lot of it. And this was able to further put out any idea or lurking notion that he could do it on his own. And I certainly have had that experience too. You know, me too. And I also think about when I was diagnosed with kidney cancer, I knew I had a hopeless situation, and it was so frustrating because I can't cut that cancer out. I had to lay it all to the doctors, to the surgeon, and put total trust in those hands and that community of healthcare professionals that they could take care of this cancer, and they did. And so, again, higher power. You know, no human aid, but certainly we use what's there. So I just was thinking about that process that I'd been through, and that a hopeless condition has to have a type H solution, which for me, I'm a type H, so I've got to have a type H higher power solution for this condition I have. And today I walk in peace, and I'm grateful for my recovery, and I'm grateful for all of you. And I think I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for being here, and welcome to the newcomers. That's all. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Susan G. from Tennessee. Candace D., you're up next, followed by Mary B. Go ahead, Candace.
Good morning. My name is Candace, and I am a very sick, compulsive overeater. thank all those that have shared and the moderator as well. You know, this really hit home with me because I, too, am struggling. I'm feeling very hopeless. I just think about how excited I was to find this program and, you know, doing the work and reading and hearing all the shares because I think it's so powerful. However, it has not, I haven't made the decision to completely trust in a power greater than myself and you fellas. So as many of you that sit at my bedside, and I say that literally because of the fact that I listen to the part. If, when I can't get on a meeting, I listen to it. And I consider you all as sitting there sharing your experience, strength, and hope with me. Yet I continue to make other unsane decisions. And I'm so grateful this morning because the guilt, remorse, and shame that I feel about myself, yet my family and friends say, oh, you look wonderful, but I know that I'm riding around with binge foods in my car because I travel a lot. And my when I had a sponsor, she asked me, was I willing to go to Inn and Lamps after I had a break, a couple of breaks. And with the traveling, was I willing to stay in the process which she had suggested? And I had to say no. And yet now I'm having all these feelings. And I'm not trusting God. But the days that I trust God, I do wonderful. However, as it said at the end of this paragraph, I can't do this by myself. I have to have help. And the only way I can have help is to be able to surrender and say, you know what, Candace, you need help and you have to ask someone to help you on the journey. And you can't do it. I mean, I can do it with my higher power, but I can't just do it with my higher power. One thing I do know, that my higher power worked through those that have recovered. And I'm grateful that has the experience. You know, they say they talked about experience, you know, and that's the process that has really given me, what gave me the freedom in the beginning, but now I'm locked in the self-will. So thank you all. Thank you so much for being here 6 days a week.
A reminder.
I appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Candace D. from South Carolina. All right, Mary B., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Mary.
Good morning, Mary Baker from Arkansas. Boy, I really needed to hear this paragraph, and folks who've shared already, I'm back from a little over a week of travel for work, and I just do not do well when I'm on the road. As someone said previously, I did not keep my practices going, and honestly, I haven't had those practices in good order for a while. And I'm realizing, listening to people and listening to this paragraph, that when I step away from my practices, I get irritated. And the more the longer I leave the practices aside, the more irritated I get. And the one thing that I am so grateful for is that I didn't get hope, that I'm not hopeless. I started recriminating myself last night, and I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to have those thoughts. All I have to do is make a little turn, and all will be well. I know that I can move more deeply into my spiritual practice and talk to my sponsor and get on these calls more often. And I don't know why it pisses me off so badly, but it really does. That I, And it's not that I have to, I don't know. I just feel really irritated. And I've been feeling that way for a while. And as I say that out loud, I don't have to know why. I just am deciding I'm just going to turn that over. I just am. And see what my higher power wants to reveal to me about it. Because there's something happening and a great chance to learn something and to move a little more deeply into recovery. So I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary B. from Arkansas. Okay, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 42, the first paragraph beginning with two members of Alcoholics Anonymous and reading through that one paragraph, ending with, I could do the job myself. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your first name and first initial to get on the share list. Who else would like to share?
Russ M.
Gotcha, Russ.
Elizabeth
I'm sorry,
D.
Okay, hold on just a second. I got Elizabeth D, but there was somebody right before. It was between Elizabeth D and Russ M, and I heard a name. Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, it was Eileen D.
Eileen D. Gotcha, Eileen
D. Thank you,
sir. All right.
We'll
stop there, and then we'll see where we're at. Oh, wait, who is that one last name?
Catherine A.
I couldn't get your first name. Something A?
Catherine.
Okay, Catherine. Just a little bit muffled there. All right, so I've got Russ M., Elizabeth D., Eileen D., and Catherine A. Russ, you're up first, brother, followed by Elizabeth D. Go ahead, Russ.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it. Good morning, family. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater, Norristown, PA. So, I didn't need anybody's help, you know. And at the point when I thought I did, you know, well, I, quotations, thought I did. I reached it. One of my buddies that I knew through music and was a recovered crack addict, and I said, John, I'm jacked up this feed. It's controlling me. And he said, you know, maybe you should try a 12-step recovery program. And I'm like, bro, man, come on, man. This is for the sick people. Not me. Real arrogant. I was just looking for a boost, a cheat code, you know, something to get around things. Because I've done it so many times, you know, lost 50, gained 35 back, lost 75, gained 80 back. You know, I've done it. You know, it's part of my life. I identified that that was it. That was who I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And, you know, after that encounter, that when he 12-stepped me, I had 9 years of progressiveness of this illness. It just destroyed me. It destroyed me. And so, you know, I was, like we agnostics, you know, I was beaten into a state of reasonableness. You know, when I'm drowning, I ain't got anything around me except, you know, the 12-step program on my back. That's when I was really agreeable, amendable. Oh, yeah, I could do that. And I got it, and it humbled me. So for me, I can't do this by myself, even now. Never have it hooked up. I never got it figured out. Only through the grace of God I'm doing anything. And if I veer 1 degree to the right or the left, I'm in deep doo-doo. I'm in trouble. And it's going to be a long, painful process of suffering for the remainder of my life, and I'm not going back to that. I need your help. I need God's help first and foremost. I need to work the steps more now than I think when I came in. I don't know. I know I got to live this, and I got a sponsor. I got to do service. It's just what it is, man. And, you know, the food takes care of itself if you want the truth of it. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But I have to. What I need to worry about is working the program. If I'm not working this program, working these steps, developing, enlarging my spiritual life, I'm in grave danger. So thanks for letting me share. I love you guys. Have a great day. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks so much for us, M from Pennsylvania. I've done a horrible job figuring out how much time we have left. Elizabeth D. and Eileen D., if you take 2.5 minute shares, I can get you in. And Catherine A., I'm so sorry, we won't have time for you. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you. My name's Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston, Massachusetts. I love this chapter and I love Fred. And when I woke up this morning, I didn't think I had anything to share in the meeting. As I've been listening to the wonderful, compassionate shares, I realized I really have some things that I need to hear myself say. I am Fred. There's so in this paragraph, you know, the ego, he didn't like their grinning so much. And the fact that he was in a good state, his life was going well, and then he picked up. That really illustrates to me the mental twist that I have. I'm about to get married. I'm going to get married on Sunday. This is my first marriage. I'm 66 years old. I've known this man for 5 years. He's amazing. He's wonderful, and he has so much respect for my recovery process. And I still have to do everything I can as a first priority to protect my entire abstinence. And that means talking to the caterer and all those things. It means making sure I'm getting the food I am. But it's also things like making sure I get enough sleep. And it's also not being so tied to that timeline of what's going to happen every 15 minutes on my wedding day that I have planned out. And instead, putting God in charge of the outcome. It's okay for me to plan and get things set up and be my own wedding planner. That's fine. But when the day comes, I give it over to God. And I don't allow the happiness and the joy, even the happiness and the joy of it, to take me away from the ultimate understanding that I am here at this altar with this wonderful man because of God's grace and mercy. My higher power, who I choose to call God, has put me in this amazing life that I have. And all the good things that I am enjoying today in this life are because I have worked this program despite many relapses. I continue to work this program, this big book, and try to live these principles in all my affairs, however imperfectly. And with that, I will stop sharing and pass. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Elizabeth D. And sorry, guys, we're going to 7:55, not 7:50. My brain's not working. So Catherine A., stand by. I'm sure we're going to be able to get you in. Eileen D., go ahead, and followed by Catherine.
Good morning. This is Eileen D. from Maryland. It is it's really good to be on the line this morning as hearing my fellows speak. It's been warming and encouraging to hear because I just came back from a week-long vacation in Maine with my 4 young grandsons and daughter and son-in-law, and it was a blast. It was beautiful right on the coast. The problem is they eat all the time, little kids. And I mean, kids eat all the time. And for many years in my very gracious gift of God giving me abstinence, it didn't bother me. But man, this week was tough because I just kept seeing all the food and most of it was abstinent because they're pretty healthy eaters. So I just had to kind of reset and head to the meeting here and say, you know, today I sat down after everyone went to school for the first time this week, the school year. I sat down and had my breakfast by myself, and I listened to the meeting. So I'm feeling very, I guess, blessed. But also, I agree that, you know, I agree with all the propositions that kind of got me in these rooms, that food was my buddy, my friend, and it's not. It's food. You package it, you buy it, you cook it, whatever. It's just food. So you guys in the room, you're the real deal. And I like when I text people, and I did this week in Maine a lot, saying, food's talking, and I kept getting great responses. Don't think about it. Don't look back. Go for a walk. I mean, who else would understand and never even question, like, why are you thinking about food? I mean, none of that. It was all to do. Here's what you can do. Here's a strategy for you. And that's because of you guys, the fellowship, that I am sitting here today having had an absent breakfast, and the rest of the week is going to be, and the day, because I have something else I'm going to travel to, is going to be, you know, one meal at a time. So thanks so much for being on the line, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen D. from Maryland. All right, Catherine A., you're up next, and if we have time for anybody else, we'll get somebody else. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi, it's Catherine A., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I really wanted to speak on this paragraph because to me it speaks to the levels of surrender that I needed when I came into the program. You know, like, this is, Fred has had, you know, this crushing blow that he talked about in the previous paragraph, and now he's, you know, people are coming to visit him and they ask him if he thinks himself alcoholic and if he's really licked this time, and he concedes to both propositions. He says he is an alcoholic, he's really licked this time, and that's how I felt when I first came into the rooms. You know, like, I'm done with this. I don't know any other way. There's no, you know, I can't keep living at the mercy of these compulsions. I don't know of another option. I've got to surrender to this program. And yet there was still a flicker of conviction that maybe I could do the job myself, if maybe I just, like, read the literature and did it on my own. And so what I love about this paragraph is that even when he has conceded both propositions, the members of AA still then heap on him evidence to the effect that he has a hopeless condition. And by sharing their experience, they are able to snuff out the last flicker of conviction that he could do the job himself. And so he needed to get to an even deeper level of surrender when he thought he had already surrendered. And that was definitely my experience too. So thanks for letting me share.
Okay. Thank you, Catherine A. from Ontario. And if somebody wants a slot here, let's see if you jump in there. I'll get you.
Lynn S.
Maisie C.
All right. I heard Lynn S. Go ahead, Lynn. And sorry, Stacy, we'll try to get you on the second meeting.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And it's funny, I wanted to share exactly the same thing as was just shared when it talked about this process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. I remember I struggled through an 8-year relapse of on again, off again, on again, off again. I thought I was going to lose my mind. It was just the worst experience ever, far worse than ever before it even come into program. And I remember just totally going to God and saying, I don't get it. I have tried my hardest to get this back. I cannot do it. I know that you and the steps are the only way out for me. And I have tried so hard and I can't do it. And I remember going up, being in my room and sitting there, and I started writing out the steps by memory, kind of. And it was a really cathartic experience. And it was like I was taking them all then. And I got abstinent. Thank you, God. And I remember saying to my sponsor, I don't get it. What was the difference here between all those other times in that 8-year period when I had gone to God and said, I can't do it? And she said, Lynn, you finally surrendered. You finally stopped all your ideas, all your thinking on how to do it, and you totally gave up. You totally surrendered. And it took a long while for that really to sink in.
Just a reminder.
Thank you, Rick. And you know what? I'll just leave it at that. But that gift of surrender, most amazing experience. I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn S. from Toronto. And yeah, thank you, everybody, for everyone who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, August 26, 2024, is 21,686. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy S. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.